All right. We have to revisit something. I'm going to need the help of a couple of readers because there's some things I want you to find for me. I might as well tell you what I'm going to need because I know we're going to have to go there. You know, Ernest has been preaching about those seeds in that ground for a long time. He's been preaching about the unbelief of Israel. And we keep revisiting that, don't we? And but I want you, I know it's, was it Matthew 13, Mark 4, Luke 8? That's the parable of the seeds in the ground. But the one specific one I want is when the thorns and the thistles, the weeds, come up and choke out that word that's in there. Okay, I think that's the third seed that's mentioned. And I need it in all three things. So if somebody can get one in Matthew, someone get one in Mark, and the other one get one in Luke. I'm going to talk to you about something else here. We're going to do some reading this morning. All right. And I'm not telling you where I'm at. I want you to listen to the word that's going forth. When the even was come, they were brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word and healed all that were sick. Now, think about this. What was making them sick? What was he casting out? That's what was making them sick. We're not talking about being physically sick in this physical world. We can manifest certain sicknesses in this world, mainly of thought, don't we, from time to time, because we've been thinking a certain way. And then we manifest actions here that show people that maybe things aren't quite right in our thinking. But what we have to understand is that God has power over all of those things, okay? Then I have to go to another spot. Now listen to this. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass that way. You notice something different from what we normally read? Normally we read is only one, right? This is the one time it's written in the scriptures where it says two. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before our time?" And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." So they spoke to him, didn't they? And he recognized them. And he said unto them, "Go." When they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Death came to them, huh? And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. So was there a possession here? And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus, and when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. They didn't want him to stay after he did this marvelous work. They wanted him to leave. They were scared because of what he had done. This is what the adversary will do to you every time. You can be healed. There can be a marvelous work done in you, but other thoughts will come and say, depart. I'm not ready for this. I'm scared. What are you scared of? If God has healed once, he can heal again. You get where I'm going with this? But that's nothing more than the whisper speaking to you, okay? So you have to be very careful of the voices you hear even after God does something for you. That makes sense, huh? After God does something for you, do you think they'll try their hardest then to try to shake what God just did for you? Of course. That's their job. That's what they're going to want to do. That's what the old familiar friend, that's what the man of sin wants to do. That's what the abomination of desolations wants to do because he is the man of sin, right? What we read in the Old Testament about the abomination of desolations is the man of sin that we are aware of now. This is very important for you to understand. Now we're going to go to another spot. I think if I remember the right way to go here. And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. Gergesenes, Gadarenes. It's the way it's pronounced according to whether it's Greek, whether it's Roman, whatever. It's just, it's the same place. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So we understand now, well, the place we read it was devils, didn't we? Now it's saying it's what? Unclean spirit. What do unclean spirits need? They need a body to inhabit. These spirits are available all around. But if you open up your mind to allow them to come in, will an unclean spirit come in? Yes, it will. The scripture tells us that sometimes our spirit goes out into dry places searching for other things. And then when he doesn't find anything, it returns back from whence it came. But when it comes back, it brings what with it? Seven other devils more powerful than itself. This is why people increase in their wickedness sometimes when they bring other things back in. Abominations start to take place because they're bringing seven other what? Unclean spirits back into that house. Before it was just the one when it went out. Now we got seven we got to deal with. Now think about this. One of the testimonies is that Jesus cast seven devils out of a woman. Who was that? Mary Magdalene. So it shows you that he has the power over it all. When she allowed those seven to come in, she met Jesus, he sent them back out. Isn't that true? He sent them back to where they came from. He cast them out of her. This is the healing that God's talking about. We worry so much about whether he can heal a cut on your arm or cancer or whatever it may, heart disease, whatever. That's not what God came to do, because you can get healed from that and still not know God. Isn't that true? That's not the healing he's talking about. Every healing in the Bible has to do with something spiritual. Whether their eyes were blinded, whether their ears were deaf, whatever it may have been, it's because it's a spiritual thing. They're blind to the things of God. They can't hear the word of God. Those are the things that he's healing. If they have the palsy, if they have impotence, whatever it may have been, it's a weakness in them that does not allow them to know God. This is what the healings were all about. Nothing physical. Get that out of your mind. Nothing physical. Had nothing to do with the physical. It has to do with what's going on spiritually in your world. Does that make sense? This guy had a world that God had to contend with, right? And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs, out of the tombs, out of the tombs, a place of death. So was some necromancing going on? Was he dealing with dead thoughts and dead things? Yes, he lived among it, didn't he? Tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. Now there it makes it sound singular, doesn't it? With an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, and no, not with chains. You ever hear about people, they say their minds aren't right and they get super strength almost? They put chains on this, he just break them. Break the fetters, whatever. Even to his own harm. Because remember, it talks about him having cuts and wounds and all that stuff too. Because that he had often been bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Crying. Oh, just mourning, huh? Within his world, within himself. And cutting himself with stones, trying to mutilate and hurt himself. But what spirit was driving him to do that? That unclean spirit. Was he aware of it, you think? No. He probably wondered how he got there. How did I come to be the way I am? You understand that? Sometimes we don't know why we become the way we become. You understand? We are not aware of the thoughts and the unclean spirits that are dealing with us. We're not aware that we're in a spiritual warfare. These are spirits doing these things to us. We think it's our own thought. Oh, I thought this and I did this and whatever. And you put it on you. It's not you. It's the spirit that came in and did what? Influenced itself to come into your life. Isn't that true? And you listen to that voice, and the next thing you know, you're in a deep pit. You're in a place that you don't want to be. Isn't that true? And always, night and day, 24 hours a day, all the time, every thought. Can you imagine? Would that be torment, you think, Patty? Would it crying and running among the tombs every night, every day? Can you imagine your life being like that? Go up here to Johnson Mortuary and all day and all night cry. You're crying, you're mourning. Don't even know why. Depressed is what it is. You're depressed and you're running, you're crying, and then you wound yourself. You hurt yourself in some way. And you're doing it all night and you're walking among the tombs where the dead are. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? I tell you what those tombs are. They're dead things, dead thoughts in your world, and you're walking among them. And you keep company with dead things, things that are not alive in God. Okay? Now, let's go to the next thing. And when he saw Jesus, now this, I want you to pay attention to this scripture. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he saw him while he was coming, right? Afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Every devil, everything has a bow before him and worship him. He steps on the scene, everything's gone, man. Power over everything. Is that power resident in you, Ernest? This thing had to bow down and worship him. He had power over it, Taylor. He had dominion over it all because he was Christ. So what are you supposed to become? Are you not supposed to become a Christ? Are you not supposed to be the Son of God? So is dominion supposed to be in your hand? Don't let these things keep talking to you and fooling you. Get the truth of what everything is, and that truth will overcome it. What did Dan say in his message? The truth will overcome the lie, won't it? Every time the truth will overcome the lie. Whatever lie you're believing that's been put in that world by that spirit, that's been put in there by people influencing you and saying things to you to cut you down, denigrate you, make you think that you're not what you're supposed to be, all of those things will be bound into one thing, and Christ will stand on it and say, I have power over it all. Because the Son of God is in you, isn't it? Yeah, that's how it works. I'm tired of this junk happening. I want to fight it. That's my nature anyway. I want to fight it. I want to come. Yeah, let's make war with this thing. Let's get it. Because it's not going to be much of a war. What did Gary say when they gathered all the armies together? Remember his messages, Pastor? Yeah, they're going to gather themselves together to come fight against the Lord. It ain't no war. How are you going to fight against God? But they're going to come from the four corners of the earth to do it, huh? They gather themselves together into an army like they're going to fight God. Psh. And you know what? Guess who gave them that purpose in their mind to come together to fight him? God did. He said, I'm going to gather all of you together because I'm going to take care of you all at once. That's it. He put the purpose in their mind. Come on, gather yourselves together. All you kings and you great authorities, come on, gather yourselves together. And let me dust you when you come together, because that's what he's going to do. That's the war right there. It's done. Did that make sense? I think it's the 19th chapter of Revelation and the 20th chapter. Go back and read it. It ain't going to be much of a war, guys. They think it's going to be a war, like they're going to fight. Like they're going to come against God. God will flick them, and it's done. Does that make sense? They don't realize who they're fighting with. The wicked in you does not realize what it's fighting against. And sometimes you don't either. Because that's why you let them work. Does that make sense? When you become aware of what's in you, they will not work anymore. All you need is truth. All you need is understanding, and they will have no more power over you. Think about curses. Think maybe this man endured a curse? Think about what he had to go through. You think he was enduring one, Ernest? Some of us have carried curses for 3 and 4 generations. It's time to stop it, guys. You that are gathered here, you're getting the word of truth so you can break the curse in your generations and stop it now. Don't let it go any further. Don't let it go to your children or your children's children. You have the understanding and the will to do it now to stop the curse. Even if you've made mistakes before in promoting the curse, now it's time for you to stand up and do what's right, be independent, and do what? Stop the curse. Even let it be manifested here that you're making better decisions. Does that make sense? Whew. People will wonder about the change in you because you're making better decisions. Like I said, I'm ready to fight this thing. I'm tired of it. Because what we want is the kingdom of God in our lives. That's what we want. And in the lives of my generations, I have some of my generations sitting here. I want my generations to be blessed. So we'll do what we have to do to get that in God. Here we go. When he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshiped him. Worshiped him. And cried with a loud voice and said, "What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not." What was he afraid of? Yeah. He was afraid Jesus was going to come and torment because he knew he had power over him, didn't he? Whew. Afraid of being tormented. Wait a minute. Where is torment at? Is it in the waters? Is it in the hell in those waters? Yes, it is. We've explained these waters to you. These waters are in your world. Everything you see here in this world, you have seas, you have oceans, you have mountains, you have cars, you have airplanes in the sky, you have clouds, you have. When you see that in your world inwardly, it doesn't mean the same thing that it is here, but you recognize what it is, don't you? That's the purpose. So all of these waters that are there, doesn't he call it the deep? What did Adam go into? A deep what? But isn't this the deep? Is the Leviathan there? Are serpents there? Yeah. Creeping things, all kinds of stuff in that deep. Is the pit there? Is hell there? Is the grave there? It's all there, isn't it? Is the man of sin there? Mm-hmm. Is the ungodly woman there? The strange woman? The familiar spirit? The flatterer, the necromancer, is it all there? All of it's in there. These seas that are in your world, and these things come up through those waters, which are spirits, and they try to do things to you. You say, this is like a fairy tale. No, it isn't. Why does the Bible tell us we have to discern spirits? Because that's what deals with us. Here we go again. We keep taking, oh, that's my thought. What if I told you were influenced by a spirit that put that thought there and you went along with it? Ah, that's different, isn't it? Isn't it time to break that influence? Don't you want that more than anything else in the world? It's time to break it. Don't you want that, Evelyn? You do, don't you? You want to break that? Don't you? It's very important that you do. And you're learning the things to do that. Faith cometh by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The more word of God you get in understanding, the more power you have. It says, by faith, nations were subdued, weren't they? Whole continents, nations, kingdoms were subdued by faith. Isn't that true? By faith. Think about it. Moses and, Pharaoh. All of Pharaoh's kingdom was subdued by faith. Moses was faithful in all his house. So who came out the victor? Moses. Oh, Pharaoh had great things, great armies, great wealth, whatever. Didn't make any difference, did it? When God is in you and on your side, and he has sent you to do what you are supposed to do, how can Pharaoh have any victory in that? You're going to overcome everything Pharaoh puts against you. Is he the whale in the sea? So is he here in those waters? Yes, he is. You got to know your Bible to understand these things. Very important, huh, Trini? You think it's important? I'm telling you, we have to revisit this for a reason. So the worshiping of the thing, he's wondering whether he's going to be tormented because he knows God is over all and this is God manifested in image. For he said unto him, This is what Jesus had said to him. For he said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. Come out. He didn't say, oh, please, or let me pray 27 hours, or let me do this, or let me fast for 12 days, or let me do it. No. He spoke, and it was done. Does that make sense? He said unto him, come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. He wanted to stay around, didn't he? And there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Why did they want to go into the swine? They needed a what? Need a body. They're unclean spirits that need a body. You cast them out into nothingness, that's torment to them. They have to inhabit something, don't they? So they said, we'll take the pigs. Send us into the pigs. Did he? Yeah, he did. He said, okay, go. They had to ask his leave first, his permission. Wow. Think about this. We're many, but we're scared of this man, Jesus. Can you give us permission to go? All right, I'll give you permission, because they can't move until he tells them to move. Does that make sense? They can't move until he says, yes, I give you leave to move. That's powerful. And it says that, and forthwith Jesus gave them leave. He gave them leave. Okay, go. Oh, now we can move. Wow. The unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. Oh, are we talking about the waters again? Now, catch this. That man became there's a term that they use for this. It's not in the Bible. But they call him the demoniac, don't they? It's not in the Bible, but that's just a term man uses. So this demoniac, with all of these devils in him, all of these unclean spirits, they go into the swine. The swine run off a cliff and go into the sea. Isn't that where those thoughts of the unclean spirit came in the first place? Remember we said about the waters? Here's what happened to that man. He allowed thoughts that were spoken by that whisperer, by that man of sin, to get him. And then they built on him more and more and more. They inhabited him. They possessed him. Can the same thing happen to us if we don't pay attention to God? That's how he became that way. They came up. He's in this place. They got into him in the first place to possess him. So now that God's casting them out, where do they want to go? They want to go back because that's where they came from. Does that make sense? We're talking about spirits. And that's those spirits that come in here. I'm still thinking about what Rick told me. It's so powerful. He said he went into those waters because as an apostle, he can go in and out. It doesn't bother him, right? He went there, he saw a Leviathan, and he grabbed him because there's many Leviathans. And he grabbed him. Moving through that sea, thinking he had authority. Leviathan means something huge, big. A Leviathan, huh? And Rick went in, he just grabbed him, pulled him out, took him back to the beginning, and allowed that Leviathan to know that at one time he had been a son of God. And he became the son of God again. He was no longer a Leviathan. Wow. But it shows you how deep he had sunk in those consciousnesses, in those waters. Are there different conscious levels? He went very deep. He became a Leviathan, didn't he? Wow. Grabbed him, pulled him up, took him back to the beginning. He became a son of God that he was in the beginning before he went through that digression. Does that make sense? And became worse. Can you become worse in things? Have you seen people like that? I mean, they become worse. That's when they digress in this and they don't progress to come out of it, to be born again. This is what you want to do. You want to leave this place. The only way you can leave it is to understand the Word of God, and that pulls you through these conscious levels and births you out of those waters. Catch this, guys. You even do the same thing when you have children. When women have children, that child is in darkness in that womb, isn't it? Surrounded by what? Water. What does it have to be birthed of? That water. Oh, my water broke. Water breaks, the child comes forth. He's in darkness in here. When he comes forth, is he in light? Ah, so it's the same parable, isn't it? The same parable. You want to be born again out of this darkness, because this is where darkness is. The dark place where devils work, where spirits work. You want to be, and it's in your world because you don't know anybody. You haven't gotten the word of God and understanding in you, you see? So you're in darkness. But what if God brings you light and brings you up out of the darkness and your birth out of these waters? Is that the goal? Is that the goal, Ceci? To be birthed out of those waters and not to be in darkness? That's the goal. Somebody get me that 1 Corinthians 4:5. So I'm going to read about these swine. The unclean spirits went out, entered into the swine. The herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. I just explained where they come from and why they wanted to go back to it. They were about 2,000. Can you imagine having 2,000 devils in you? 2,000. This is all in the Bible, guys. You may not have heard it this way before, but it's right here. This is what religion does. Religion fools you every Sunday. You go learn about what man thinks about God. When you're here, you're going to find out what God thinks about himself. There's a big difference. And we're learning what God says he is and not what man says he is. Going to all those religious churches doesn't help you. The devil loves for you to go to those churches every Sunday. He loves it because he knows he's got you. You're thinking like by your own thought about what you think God is. And then you come to some place like the truth. You hear things you've never heard before. And then you say, wait a minute, I didn't hear that. That's right, you didn't hear, because they don't know. They don't know. You're going to hear it here. Very powerful, huh? So what does it say in 1 Corinthians 4:5?
Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come.
Till the Lord come.
Who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness, and will make manifest the counsels of the heart, and then shall every man have praise of God.
Wow. So, will he shine a light to bring forth all these hidden things that you're not aware of? Yes. He's going to bring them to light. Why? If you believe in him and get the understanding of his word, the true understanding, then that light will shine, and it will shine on the hidden things of darkness and bring you up so that you can be birthed out of that darkness and out of those waters. Darkness is not a good thing. How many of you ever had dreams of darkness and you didn't like it? Being in a dark place. Come on. You don't like that. You want light so you can see and know where to go, right? That's what God wants to bring you spiritually. Take you out of a spiritual dark place and bring you into his light. Isn't that what he wants to do? Very powerful. I'm tired of dark things. I want the light shown on them so I can see my way out. Isn't that true? Very powerful. So the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. Choked, Patty, in the sea. What, did I have somebody get me some of those scriptures? What did you get, Ernest? You read the one you have in Luke.
Did you want the end of it? Or
no, just the part where it says that chokes them out. You know, the thorns and thistles, whatever it says about the thorns and thistles there. Mm-hmm, the interpretation part.
Luke 8:7. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it.
Now go to the interpretation of what that is further down. But it says it choked it, didn't it?
14. And that which fell among the thorns, are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life.
Wow.
No fruit to perfection.
Cares, riches, and pleasures of this life. Not talking about here in this physical world, in your world here, how you think. All the cares you have here, all the pleasures you have here, what you want to do by lust. You see how this works? The riches of this, your thought and your world. This is where the battle is, guys. You get this right, will the rest of this act right? It has to be by thought first, right? You think, if you think like God, will things manifest like God? There you go. You think like a devil, things will manifest like a da-da. It's very simple. Does that make sense? So here's the other part of this. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city. They got scared and left and in the country. And they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Patty, they became afraid. They didn't rejoice. They became, because they didn't know God. If they had known God, they would have rejoiced, wouldn't they? But they didn't know God. They were unaware. So they got scared and fled. They were scared of the great healing that God had just done. Guys, don't ever do that. Don't ever be scared of what God has done with you. Be looking for more. Looking for God to do more for you. If he did that, he can do more. That's how you should be thinking. Does that make sense? Very powerful. But they got scared. They were afraid of what he had done. But look at this man now. All those unclean spirits gone. Not naked anymore, but clothed. In his right. Why does it make a point of saying that? We're not in our right mind when we follow all of those other spirits. You think you are. Oh, that's just my thought. I'm just thinking maybe I can plan this way and I can do this and this is what I'm thinking. Hey, I want you to understand you're letting spirits influence you. It's as simple as that. And when things mess up, you say, oh, that's me. I messed up. I'm a sinner. I'm so bad. I'm so terrible. Hey, do you think it wants you to feel that way? Absolutely, it wants you to feel that way. That's the spirit dealing with you. It absolutely wants you to feel down and depressed and bad. And you look at yourself and you just, oh, I hate myself. It'll get you to that point. I hate the way I am. Have you ever said that? I hate the way I am. I hate the way I think. It wants to get you there. But you think it's you. What I'm trying to tell you is you're going to start identifying these spirits. And if you can't identify them, come to somebody that can. There's seven of us elders that can. We'll identify it for you and show you what it is so that you don't have to be afraid of it anymore. It's as simple as that. Does that make sense? How many of you are getting going close and close to the peace that you really want? Do you understand that you're getting to the place where Jesus said, peace I give you, peace I leave with you? That you're going to have that. You're going to have peace until he takes you to where you're going to be as an apostle. You're all going to be preachers, not like standing in front of a congregation. You're going to be preaching to your world. Every one of you is going to be a preacher in your world. You got to preach the truth of God in it so you can stop all these devils from working. So you'll preach the truth in your world. You'll be a preacher. Isn't that right? Don't be scared of that. Wouldn't you like to speak the word of God in confidence and in purity and in truth? And know that when you do it, everything foul has to get back. And you have power over and dominion over it. Don't you want that? I know I want it. I've seen some of it already in me. Where when I say it or think it, that thing has to get back. That is a powerful thing when you start seeing that, when it shrinks away from you and it can't stand where you're at. That's a powerful thing. That's powerful. So clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil. They all knew he was possessed. And also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. We need you to leave. Ernest, what a mindset is that? What kind of mindset is that? Love darkness rather than light. That is the mindset they're in. We need you to depart. What you did scared us. Hey, you should be clamoring and running to him and say, do it for me. Do it for me. That's what they should be doing. No, we're all scared. We're going to band together and ask you, please leave. You're asking God to leave. Think about what I'm saying. You're asking God to leave. And you think you don't do that. But from time to time, you do that. You're in a thought or something. You don't want to be bothered with what you have to deal with and that it has to be the word of God that's going to make it go. So you kind of, you know, since you're comfortable where you're at, you don't want God to stick around then. You want to just go on and do what you want to do in your thought. You're really asking God to leave, just like they did. Very important that you don't do that. Every time the opportunity is there, open the door for God. Didn't Jesus say, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock"? When he knocks, open the door, because that could be your opportunity for complete healing of whatever it is that's dealing with you. So why would you keep the door shut? Why? You don't want to be bothered then? That's how we think in a human mental state. We don't want to be bothered. You don't want to be bothered? You don't want to be healed? God ain't going to press himself on you. You'll just continue in your way, and then you have to suffer that much longer. Oh, there's a consequence to not letting God in, huh? Yes, there is. You want to keep suffering? Don't let God in. It's very simple. Let him in, peace, healing. Hold him out, you suffer still. It's very simple, guys. Opening a door, just open it. When you come, God, I'm going to always be ready, and I'm going to open that door. That's what your mindset has to be, right? Almost done here. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. This man was so thankful. He said, "Can I be with you? Can I go? I want to be with you. You are my deliverer. I want to be with my deliverer." But Jesus tells him something surprising here. Listen to what he says. "Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel." He became a preacher. Didn't he? He went back and told everybody, didn't he? That was the purpose. Jesus said, "No, don't come with me now. Go testify about what I did." Now, another scripture in another part of the Bible says Jesus comes back there again. They all received him. The cities came out to see him, everything. Had to take time to happen. The preacher had to go forth and tell the good things of God. And yes, prepared him, didn't he? Whew! Is this powerful or not?